There should be outlines in front of you. And what we're going to do is start a series that we actually started a couple weeks ago, which is where to start in our Bible study. And remember, a couple weeks ago before the chart, we talked about where to start, where to begin, and what the four stages of biblical growth look like. Remember that? And we've been dealing with over the summer the issue of God's final authority and how we need to believe the Bible as God's word and not believe men, not trust in ourselves. And that's really a foundation to this series on how to study the Bible rightly divided. We're really going to hit these issues very simply. Some 10 years ago, before Grace Ambassadors existed as you know it, the first time I ever taught in a Bible study, we went through a series similar to how we're going to do about how to study the Bible rightly divided based on my studies. And it really is a good beginning point, a starting point for learning how to study the Bible on your own. So we're doing it again, hopefully a lot better than before. And so we're going to start this morning with our series on how to study the Bible with the issue of sin. Okay, just as partly review, but partly necessary as you try to establish yourself in how to study the Bible. You say, why do we start with sin? Okay, because I already know I was a sinner. I know that Christ died for my sins. Why is this even relevant to Bible study? And it's because so many people come to the Bible not respecting the place of sin in them. I'm not trying to glorify sin, but the fact that sin is present in the world, that sin is present in us, even if Christ did die for your sins, it's not eradicated from your life, it is in you. It's corrupted the world, it's corrupted our thinking. It tells us that we need really to believe in God's words and get our understanding from it. So many people come to the Bible and study the Bible with a motive, with a secret intent to justify what they already believe. Okay, they believe something by tradition, they believe something that they've heard someone else say, and they come to the Bible to get proof, which is called proof texting Bible study. Rather, what we're going to learn is how to study the Bible alone. How to study the Bible on its own. Let God's word speak on their own, stand on their own, and you are taken out of the equation. Okay, you have nothing to bring to the table. And of course, the reason for that is you're not God. The reason for that is because there's sin in you. The reason for that is you're not trustworthy to have an opinion. Okay? And so we can't have an opinion on God's word, on what is true and what is not, until we learn it from God's word. This is a foreign concept. Everyone has an opinion about religion. There's lots of people who would not consider themselves dumb or stupid who have thoughts, opinions, and things to say about the Bible, God, religion, the topics in the Bible, and yet they are totally ignorant of what the Bible says about it. Okay? And this is the difference between theological discussion and Bible study. We're learning how to study the Bible, not having discussions about theology, in which everyone has an opinion about that. Okay? We need to figure out what God said in His Word. So it's very important, then, that we understand the place of sin and where our place is as we approach the Bible. We need to have the proper attitude as we come to study the Bible. That's what we're going to cover this week. Okay? Now, of course, sin also plays a role in your salvation. And we learned a couple weeks ago that in the four stages of biblical growth that you cannot grow biblically, you cannot grow in your spirituality unless you're first saved. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I'm not talking here about reading the words in the page, like we have some atheist agnostic textual critics out there. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about believing the words and letting them have an effect in your life. That's the growth we're talking about. That cannot happen unless you believe them. They are spiritually discerned. The growth that we're concerned about here is not the wisdom of worldly things, even if those worldly things concern the Bible. We're talking about spiritual growth in your understanding of God's will. You can only get there if you believe the book, if you are saved in the first place, if your spirit is alive to what God is saying, by faith, of course. Okay, 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, Paul says that Christ came to save sinners. All right, you cannot have salvation, you cannot be saved unless you're first the sinner. Romans 4, verse 5 says that God justifies the ungodly, contrary to how the world will think about religion and people who make themselves holy by quoting the Bible and reading and claiming to speak for God, that you cannot be saved unless you first understand your ungodliness. If you think that I'm a Christian because I'm so godly, if you think I'm a Christian because I don't like sin and I don't sin very much and this sort of thing, that's not the gospel. And I doubt whether or not you're saved at all. Okay, salvation can only come to sinners. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, Christ came to save sinners. If you're not a sinner, if you're perfectly righteous, you don't need salvation. You don't need Christ. You don't need the Bible, quite frankly. Okay, The Bible was given for people who have corrupt minds, who don't know the truth, who need to know God, and so we depend on what he said about himself. Everyone can make up their own God. Just this last week, I think Desmond Tutu over in Africa said he would not serve a God who does not endorse homosexual marriage. You know, well, he can believe whatever he wants, but I want to know what God actually says, not what Desmond Tutu says that God thinks. Okay, and the Bible says something a little differently about that. Okay, whether or not I like it or not. So there's a difference between what people's opinions about what God should be or what they want and what the Bible actually says about God. Okay. So you cannot be saved, you can't have salvation, you cannot grow in Bible study unless you are first a sinner. Now, of course, you should know, and we've learned before from the Bible, that once you put your faith in Christ's death and resurrection for your sins and for your justification, that you are now crucified with Christ, and you are putting on then Christ, you become a member of his body. So you give a position, you have now a status in Christ of righteousness. But that's not you, folks, that's Christ in you. Okay, it's Christ's righteousness. Okay, it's not yours. You didn't create it. You didn't invent it. It doesn't come from you. It comes from Christ. And so the righteousness you have is only by faith, not by your works, which means you alone, you're still unrighteous. Okay, you in Christ get salvation. All right, so that's the position that we have. And so if we study the Bible and we start reading Genesis chapter 1, we learn some things about how God created the world, which means since he created all things, he has power over all things. We also learn in Genesis 3 very quickly this issue of sin. Where by one man sin entered. It was by Adam, that first sin, that the whole human race, being in Adam, right, him being the first man, all coming from him, had ostracized the human race from God by his sin. Okay, God saw humans, and now there's sinners right there. Because Adam sinned, there's no righteous line anymore. There's no perfection among humanity. That's what began in Genesis chapter 3. And so that affects how we study the Bible, because it affects the view of ourselves. If we think that we can come to a knowledge of the truth outside the Bible, if we think there's something good about us outside the Bible, and then I can determine what's right and wrong without the Bible's input, you don't need to study the Bible, folks. You're not studying the Bible rightly. You won't benefit from it. Because it'll just be another source whereby you judge it to determine whether it's right or wrong. Okay? But when you submit yourself and realize that I'm a sinner, I'm ignorant, my thinking and my reasoning is corrupt, I'm coming to the Bible to learn what God says because he is truth, his words are truth, now suddenly you stand to prosper from studying the Bible. Okay, you stand to gain wisdom that is not yours. Okay, and that's what we're talking about when we talk about studying the Bible. And so it affects the view of ourselves. It affects the view of others. When you hear teachers and preachers and scholars talk about the Bible, you really need to be able to discern whether or not they're trusting God at his words or just speaking God's words in order to judge them. Okay, there's a lot of that going on. A lot of people will use God's word to support their position. Left or right, up and down, they'll support their position by quoting the Bible, right? And the only use the Bible has for them is to support their position, right? I don't care about my position. I don't care about your position. I care about what God's position is, what the Bible says. And that's what studying the Bible is about, learning about what God said in its entirety, in its context, everything. I'm just plucking out a sound clip from what God said to prove what I want, okay? So, again, this is the difference between Bible study and what you find in a lot of pulpits nowadays, which is proof texting, where you're taught to go to the Bible, to think of a topic, to think about what you want to say first, and then go to the Bible to find verses to support it. Okay? That's not the way you study the Bible. It may be the way people try to preach. It's not the way you study the Bible. Okay? And so, if you look at Romans chapter 3, verse 4, sin means sin in you, sin in the world, means that we are the sinner. God is the truth teller. That's the opposite from the fact that God's word has mistakes in it, that God could make mistakes, that he tells some lies, that his word is corrupt, and I'm the one that's able to tell what's right and wrong. That's the opposite approach. But Romans 3, 4, when you let God be true and every man a liar, including yourself, who am I going to trust? God or you? God. You see, this affects your Bible study. Because suddenly when you come to a passage that you don't understand, it doesn't mean God's wrong. That means you're ignorant. That's what that means. Okay? But people don't like to admit this. And so when they see a passage they don't understand, it's kind of troubling. They don't really like the passage, what it says very clearly. They tend to change the verse. They tend to say, well, God made a mistake. The writer was in error there. Well, what authority do you have to say that? Because I can't be wrong. Because I don't like it. I don't understand. You see the problem. Let God be true and every man, including you, be a liar. Okay? And so if you don't like it, you don't desire it, it's not your preference, it doesn't matter. Okay? That means you're in the wrong, God is in the right. Romans chapter 3, verse 9 says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jew and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." Everybody is under sin. Okay, the most holiest pope in history, which is not saying much, is under sin. Okay? And so it's not about the popes. It's not about Mother Teresa. They're all under sin. The issue is how they deal with that sin. How do they submit to God with that sin? Right? But it says in Romans 3, 9, we're all under sin, and that affects the way we approach the Bible. It affects our attitude when we come to the Bible. Okay? You don't come to the Bible holding some lordship over it. Romans 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, we are tempting to study the Bible for what reason, I would inquire? Is it so that you can boast in yourself, that you know God's thoughts, and that you're able to speak for God about anything that you want? Or is it the fact that you come short of the glory of God, and there's no way you can even know the glory of God without understanding what God said in His Word? Okay, which is the true statement. We only know God's glory, we only know God, we only know what He's doing by reading this book, by studying the Bible. Right? You cannot use it for your own means. And so Romans 3:23 says, "We all sinned, and we've all come short of the glory of God." There is no scholar, no preacher, no teacher that you can lift up to be a mediator between you and God's Word. We're trying to equip you individually to be able to approach God's Word directly and say, "I don't understand it, but I can, because God has given it to us in His Word, and we're going to study His Word and what it says." Okay? Letting it be and let it say what it says. Romans 5, verse 12 says, "By one man sin entered, and death by sin." So we're all sinners because of this. We've all sinned. That gives you no credibility in interpreting God's Word. It gives you no credibility in saying anything about God. All right? This really should present to you an attitude of humility when it comes to the Bible, which is exactly where you need to be. You come to the Bible arrogant. You come to the Bible proud. If you're going to say what it says without even reading it first, okay, you're going to have problems. And so Romans chapter 5, down in verse 19. See the difference here between God and man. "By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." That's Adam and you. "But by the obedience of one," that's God manifest in the flesh, "shall many be made righteous." So how you get to declare yourself righteous is not because I'm such a good boy that I've read the whole Bible, I know all the answers. No. It's because Christ gives you the righteousness. Right? There's nothing in yourself that you can say about the Bible that's right until you learn from it, until you study it. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4, Paul says, "I knew nothing of myself." Right? And that's the attitude Paul had. "Of myself," Paul says, "I knew nothing." Now, Paul, in himself, actually had some standing in society. You, in yourself, may be respected in society. But among men, that's all you are, a man. Okay, we're talking now about God's Word, not another man. Okay, so there's a difference here between you and God and you and other people. You may be the President of the United States. You may be the leader of the United Nations. You may be some high status in society, a wealthy man, a wise man in the system of the world. Yet that means nothing in your understanding of God's Word. It's a totally different wisdom, a totally different level. Okay, this is true. And so in 1 Corinthians 4, Paul in himself was blameless according to the law. He was both a Jew and a Roman citizen. Right? He had status. He was taught of Gamaliel. And yet he says all that he counts as dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ that he learned here and that you have in God's Word rightly divided. Okay, that's Philippians chapter 3. And so we do not come to the Bible as its judge, choosing what we believe and what we don't believe. The Bible is our judge. We come to the Bible, what it says we ought to do whether we like it or not. What it says is, whether we think like it or not, whether we see it like it, that is it or not. What the Bible says is true. Okay? The world is deceptive. You can be deceived. What the Bible says is true. Trust it to be true. Whether your eyes see it, whether your heart desires it, the Bible is true. And that's what it comes to at the end of the day and at the beginning of your Bible study. We need to give God the benefit of the doubt. We need to give God our trust. Give God our listening ear. Instead of hearing what God says and saying, "Yes, God, but I've got something to say here." Instead, we give God our listening ear, where we hear what He says, we shut up, He speaks. Okay? That's the approach we come to the Bible. And why do we do that? Because there's sin in us. That's why. Right? If we were righteous, perfectly righteous and holy, we could speak on terms with God. "Well, I'm holy too, God." You know, but we can't. That's the whole point. Okay? There's sin in us. We approach God as the listener, as the receiver. All right? Studying the Bible is a lesson in humility, which is exactly where we need to begin. Let God's Word stand. People come to the Bible, and the first thing they want to do is retranslate it, change the words to match their agenda. That's not coming to the Bible in the right attitude, not respecting sin in themselves, and the corrupt thinking that pervades the world, especially religion. Okay? And so we need to understand what God's Word says, it says. We're going to let it be. We'll learn in the weeks to come how then we come to the Bible with this attitude, how then do we understand what's in it? You know, what is it actually saying? You know, how do we study it that way? And so this is the approach this morning where sin, your sin, affects Bible study, the way you handle this issue. Now, what is sin? Sin is a touchy issue. It's a dirty word in a lot of churches nowadays because, again, people have the idea that you come to church. People who come to church don't sin. Therefore, we don't mention sin in the church because if someone sins, then they're not shouldn't be in the church. There's a conundrum there, right? Actually, the church, the body of Christ, is made up of members who by grace, God's grace, by faith in what Christ did for their sins, were all sinners, saved by grace, right? Isn't that the idea? So that's what the church is made of. And so people who don't understand that, they don't talk about sin much in the church because they don't think it's relevant to them. Christ died for the sins after all. Sin's no longer an issue. I beg to differ. Sin's no longer an issue with God if you put your faith in Christ, but you know what? I'm still here. There's sin in me. Okay? Don't drag me off to jail or anything like this, you know, but there's sin in all of us. Okay? It's present. The power of sin is destroyed by what Christ did on the cross. Okay? The authority of sin over us is destroyed by what Christ did on the cross, but the presence of sin is still there. That's what we're hoping for. We're waiting for the day that sin is no longer present, where it's taken away, where we can put off these mortal bodies, put on immortality and perfection and incorruption, right? And yet, until that time, sin is still in us, and so we're still at a place where we need to operate by faith, and we need to operate depending on God's Word, which is a lesson we're supposed to have for eternity, okay? And so the world hates to talk about sin. In fact, the world denies sin's existence, but they love to do it. Okay, they love to do it. Look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse 9. We're talking about sin here. We're trying to define what sin is. There's a lot of misconceptions about it. When you understand what the Bible says about sin, when you come to the Bible with this perspective, it'll change your, need I say it, worldview, the way you view things. Proverbs 24, verse 9. It says here, the thought of foolishness is sin. The scorner is an abomination to men. The thought of foolishness. We'll read later some other definitions of sin in your Bible in Romans 14 and 1 John 3. The thought of foolishness is sin. People have the idea that sin is just killing somebody, right? That's sort of egregious activity. Terrorism, that's sin, right? And so unless I commit one of those things, I'm not a sinner. People tend to compare each other with themselves. They tend to think, I'm a decent person. I'm okay. I'm not as bad as the next guy. I've never killed anybody. I never really hurt anybody. Well, those aren't the only sins that are out there. Okay, sin is anything that is contrary to God's holy, perfect, and righteous nature. That is sin, right? Which means the thought of foolishness is sin, Proverbs 24, verse 9, which is kind of an offense to people. Foolishness? There's a lot of things foolish that you do. There's a lot of thoughts that you have are just foolish. You know, it just happens, right? But if it's contrary to God's holy and righteous nature, it is sin. See, the issue is never God saying you need to be perfect in order to get to heaven. That's never been what God said. He's always said that you need to depend on me, trust in me for your salvation because you're sinful, and I will take care of it, right? Because apparently we can't deal with it. But the thought of foolishness is sin. People want to try to justify themselves according to the law, and this is one of those verses that you can use to show them that there's no justification, all right? Here we are thinking about studying the Bible, and if a thought of foolishness ever enters your mind about any verse you read in the Bible, that's a sin, right? Whoops. And so it's not just the egregious ones, as people try to say. Sin will change your perspective on the world. The world does not talk about sin. Sin is not part of the vocabulary. You don't look up in the psychological diagnostic manual a sin as an issue. It's not there. Okay? They have all sorts of explanations for why people do the things they do. But sin is never an explanation. Even Christians don't like to talk about sin. Okay? They'll say things about people's behavior and say, well, it's not a sin. But, you ever heard that? What does that mean? Now, I would err on the side that almost everything that I do is probably sinful. And yet people don't have that perspective on themselves. They think, well, I'm a decent person. I sin. You know, everybody sins. No one's perfect. But it doesn't matter. It does matter. Okay? God is perfectly holy and righteous. You are not. There's sin present in you. When we study the Bible, we're studying God's words here. It's not a game. Right? That means any little sin in your life can affect the way you view a verse, because it's attempting to look at the verse and justify what you're doing. Right? That's a problem. Where do we get this understanding of God's Word right? People said to me before, you know, all the different denominations exist because people interpret the Bible differently. Well, we know that studying the Bible rightly divided is a major cause of that, but in some way it's true. A lot of people use the same verse to justify different things. They interpret it differently. Why would they do that? They're sinners, folks. They've got different agendas. If we're all perfect and righteous in our understanding, we'd all interpret it the same way. The idea is for us to understand what God thinks about it, to be conformed to His image, so that we can all understand together in the unity of the faith what's being said. Okay? And so meanwhile, the world doesn't think about in terms of sin. When you understand sin from Genesis chapter 3, this is contrary to the world's perspective on things. The world calls what is really sin things like psychological disorders. That's like I just said. You know, psychology actually was created, whether you read it in your textbooks or not, the word itself, the study itself, is a combination of science and soul study, soul being the whole concept of the Bible and what the Bible deals with. Science tries to replace it with a new study called psychology that deals with science and soul study, explaining that what used to be described in the soul as sin is now just psychological disorder. Right? And so we drug our children, we do things for our children, we diagnose people with psychological problems which are really just the consequence of the negligence and sinful activities of ourselves.
Amen.
All right? That's a problem. It's not psychological disorder. It's not a lifestyle choice. It is sin. Right? And that's how it is with all of us. See, well, I just prefer this. Well, I know you may desire it. I know you think you were born with it. I know you may prefer it with every ounce of your being, but it is sin. Because sin is not just what you like or don't like. Sin is the holy, righteous nature of God. If it's contrary to Him, it is sin. That's just how it is. You could like something. You could think you're doing something right, and it be a sin. We'll see that later in the Bible. What I'm trying to do here, as we approach God's Word, is to elevate the Bible, elevate God, and put you down on a lower pedestal. That's what I'm trying to do on purpose. So that when we study God's Word, you're in the right position, which is kneeling, humbly, saying, "What are you saying, Lord?" and not trying to be Lord over it. So many times people study the Bible and they want to judge it. They want to find mistakes in it. They want to say, it's wrong, I'm not. Right? You'll see this all over in people's interpretations from religious people about the Bible. It's not human nature to sin. Okay, now I said that and I got to qualify it because obviously by one man's sin and death by sin, we're all sinners, right? But when God created man in the beginning, he was not a sinner. Okay, people say, well, it's just human nature. Have you ever told a lie before? Well, everyone has. You know, you ever thought foolishness? Everybody has. You know, just human nature. That doesn't justify it. The fact that human nature is to sin now means that human nature is contrary to the holy, righteous nature of God. That's what that means. And so just because you show someone and their answer, well, everybody does it, not God, you see, which means it is a sin. Okay, that's our standard. And so it's not human nature. It's not your preference. It's not a different idea. I wrote yesterday in the email update to folks about open minds. You ever heard about this? People boast in the fact that they have open minds. What does this mean? Open minds. I read books. I watch the news. I read things. I learn new things. I'm growing. What does it mean to have an open mind? I think that's an open mind. Okay. Yet what they mean by open mind is that they accept and tolerate and let in different ideas as if they're equal. They're okay. When the Bible says something different, the Bible says that we need to have closed minds regarding the truth. Okay, if something is wrong, that's a bad idea. All right, it shouldn't be let in. Right? 2 + 2 = 4. Someone comes to you and preaches that 2 + 2 = elephants. 2 + 2 = 69. You know, that should not be kept in your mind. Just let it go. You know, it's wrong idea. You don't need to open your mind and say, let's consider this idea that, you know, the moon is made of cheese. No, you don't need to consider this idea. It's a wrong idea. Just cast it out. Close your mind to that idea. It's not that hard. You do it all the time. And people say, we have open minds to different ideas. Beware. You know, open minds typically leads empty head, which means you dump out what you thought you knew and enter in some other consideration. Okay? Sin. When you understand what sin is, the truth is the Bible. Sin is not just, it's not just a different idea that we need to consider. What religion called sin for thousands of years, people say, is really just someone else's way of living. Their other perspective on life. No. Sin is anything contrary to God's nature. How do we know God's nature? Reading what God said about himself. Okay? God's nature is not defined by my opinion of him. It's not by church mandate or by pope decrees. It's what the Bible says about his nature. And that's what sin is. Okay? Sin in the Bible is called darkness, transgression. Darkness, that describes for us a little bit what it means. The world doesn't have this perspective. The world has a totally different perspective. They don't think sin exists. They think everybody has their own life, their own choices. That's not what the Bible describes the world as. Okay? Sin is called darkness, which means that if you don't know what is right, if you have sin, you are in darkness. The most enlightened people, by their own proclamation, will come to you and write books and proclaim their own brilliance and say, I am enlightened, you're the ignorant one. You're living in a bubble, a religious bubble. And yet the Bible says they're darkened. Don't be fooled by the wisdom of the world. If you believe the Bible to be true, it says things about sin that they even deny exists. And it says that those who are in sin are darkened. They have transgressed, which means they've passed the law. They've broken the law. They've passed the point of where they should go. Well, that means we have open minds. We're free to go wherever we want. It's not a good thing to go wherever you want. There's a puddle of poison there. Don't walk in it. You know, there's things you should not do. And yet the world doesn't grasp this concept. Everything is okay to them. All right? This is not intelligence. So the Bible says it's darkness, it's transgression, it's foolishness. Okay? It's wickedness. We don't demean other people's religions. We don't demean other people's faith. We don't call them fools. The Bible says the fool said in his heart there is no God. There's a reason for that. That's because more than 95% of the world knows that there's a God. Romans 1 says everyone knows that there's a God. It's just an issue of who is he? What is he like? What did he do? That's what the Bible reveals. The fact that you declare by your own ignorance that you do exist and there's not a God is to your own shame. In fact, one of the major reasons why people do not believe in God is because they want to justify their own sinful actions. Oh, I don't believe in sin. My point exactly. You do not believe that there's a God that will judge sin. You don't believe that sin even exists. Look at the world. Sin exists. Okay? Sin means we do not esteem God high enough. Whenever you bring God down to your level, this is a sin. Okay? Whenever you overestimate yourself, this is a sin. All right? And so this is sin. Sin means we need to esteem, to be without sin, we need to esteem God where he is rightly to be esteemed. This is the hard thing for us to do. Because we go about our days, we go about our lives, and people just fail to esteem God, give him glory for what he's done. Right? And we tend to often give ourselves more credit than what we deserve. Right? And yet this is sin. You know, again, I'm very one-sided this morning. I'm not talking about what Christ has done on the cross and his deliverance provided for us from sin and things like this. But I'm just dealing with what sin is, because we don't deal with this very much in great circles, it seems like. Okay? But sin is present. Sin is an issue. Sin is not esteeming God high enough, not esteeming his word high enough. Right? God esteems his word above his name. In the Bible, it says. And so his words are important. We tend to overestimate ourselves as if we can tell God what he meant to say. Right? That's not what God meant. What did he mean? Sir, man, scholar, you know. Well, you're overestimating ourselves. Okay. 1 John 3, verse 4 says that sin is a transgression of the law. And so a lot of people think, well, sin is just breaking the law. So God's got a law in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, 613 points of law. We break one of those, we've committed a sin. Well, this is true. Because God's law being a manifestation, an expression of his holy righteous nature, the law is holy, righteous, and good. When you break one of those laws, you've obviously committed a sin because you've transgressed the law that defines what righteousness is according to God's nature in the Old Testament there. Okay? And yet, that's not all sin is. If that's all sin is, then Romans 4:15, where it says, well, there's no law, there's no transgression, would mean you have no sins. A transgression, breaking the law, is different than just a sin, which is you being contrary to the holy nature, righteous nature of God. Okay? Romans 4:15 says, where there is no law, there is no transgression. Fact, right? They can take away every law in the country and there'd be no criminals anymore. Would there be sin?
Yes.
Yeah! You see the difference there. Now, there'd be no transgression of any laws. There's no laws. Okay? Before God gave the laws to Moses, did they transgress those laws? Well, there was no laws to transgress. But was there sin? Yeah. Since Genesis 3, there was sin. That's what Paul teaches in Romans chapter 5. So sin is more than just breaking the law. And we were in Proverbs 24:9, where the thought of foolishness was sin. And Romans 14:23 says, he that does something that is not of faith is sin. Not of faith. Yeah. Faith in God. Right? There are things that you can do by liberty, right, that are not breaking any law, that wouldn't even be wrong. But if you don't do it by faith, it's a sin. And he's talking specifically there about eating meats and that sort of thing. Eating meat offers to idols. Paul explains to the Corinthians, there is no other gods but God. We know this. That idol is made of wood. It's nothing. So that meat was placed in front of the idol, then brought to the market to sell. It means nothing. And yet, here you are quibbling and going, well, I know that it means nothing, but man, I don't want to do this. That's a sin. Don't do it. Why are you doubting this, you see? And so, doing the right thing is always right. Right? I don't want to eat that meat. It's offered to idols. Good. Don't eat it. Right? Romans 14:23 says. And so, the thought of foolishness is sin. He that doesn't do things by faith is a sin. By what means do you think you have liberty to do all things, and all things are lawful to you? It's only by what Christ did on the cross for our sins, isn't it? And so, we do things by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. But anyway, sin is a lot more than just breaking the law. Look at Proverbs 21, verse 2. Proverbs 21, verse 2. You know, every man does is right in his own eyes, what Proverbs 21 says. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. So this is the difference between someone recognizing and starting with their own sinfulness, their own humility before God, and someone who comes to God thinking they're on the same level. Okay. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a man, is right in his own eyes. The Lord ponders the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And so sacrifice here is actually a good work according to the law. It's something that was required under the law. And yet it says here, God has something that's more valuable than sacrifice. There's a way to give sacrifices without justice and judgment and it be considered a sin. Is it getting confusing yet? Okay. Remember, what was it, Saul back there? Who God told him to kill all the animals in the city. Instead, he brought the animals back, and you know, Samuel heard the bleeding and of the sheep and said, what is this? He goes, I brought them for sacrifices. And he goes, obedience is better than sacrifice. Right? There's a way to do religious works, and it be wrong. It be a sin. It's contrary to God's holy nature. He wants you to be obedient, not create a religion for yourself. Sacrifice, it says the sacrifices here, if not done with justice and judgment, is wrong. A high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Plowing. Is it good or bad to plow your field to provide food for your family? It's good. Plowing of the wicked is a sin. Why? They're not glorifying God. They're rejecting God. You see, God made the earth. God made the seeds. God made it work this way. And you're rejecting Him. You're walking in sin, deliberately against Him, in rebellion, contrary to His nature. And you think because you just plowed the food and provided for your family, God should accept you, you know. On what basis, exactly? You have no faith in Him. You're wicked, it says here in Proverbs 21, verse 4. So you see the issue. Even when you think you're doing something right, this is the problem with the world. Humanism and the world will teach that people are decent and good, right? Someone said just the other day, my wife and I were in a store, and the checkout lady said, you know, there are good people in the world. People think this. This is what they really think. There's good people. So when they die and they face God, they think, well, I did the best I could. I did a good job. Right? They deny the existence of sin. They don't hold God up high enough. They think they're good enough. This is the problem. Okay? If you read the Bible, it's very negative towards you. So as we started the Bible, you need to realize that, or else every time it is negative towards you, you'll chop that part out and take it out of the Bible, and you'll say, it's not me. Right? It is. It's talking about us. It's very positive towards God, negative towards you. Right? So the thought of foolishness is sin. We've got here the sacrifice and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, Proverbs 21 says. Okay, down in verse 27, I believe. Sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. This is a problem. Sin is a problem. It's in everyone. God's nature, God's law, exposes our sinfulness. Romans 3:19 says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. No man can be justified by the deeds of the law. The law had the purpose of showing us our sin very clearly. Otherwise, we're just kind of guessing about it. Right? The law very clearly. We're all sinners. Look at this. Okay. And God's nature is even worse. We study God's nature to learn about who He is. His nature, the perfection, exposes our inferiority to Him. This is why people deny Him. Look at Romans 1:21. They want to deny God because every time they approach God, it seems like they're always being judged. It seems like they're always being condemned. Every year you read a new book or some fellow writing an article about what non-Christians think of Christians. They're too judgmental, they say. That's what they think of God, too. You say, I'm an atheist, and I think Christians are going to reach people should stop being judgmental. They became our friends and liked the things that we liked and, you know, hung out with us and just didn't judge us. It'd be fine. Well, sure, so the Bible's a trash can, too. It's negative towards man. You can't read this and say it's God's love letter to you. Okay, it'll tell you you're a sinner. And unless you trust God's gospel, Christ's death on the cross for your sins, you're going to die. Okay, you're going to be judged, Hebrews 9:27 says. Sin is a real thing. It makes you, sets you apart from the thinking of the unbeliever. Not just sin, but of course how you deal with the sin. Because again, remember, no one's perfect in here either. Right? But it's how we deal with the sin. It's our trust in the gospel that wakens our spirit. God quickens our spirit, puts us into Christ, and because of God's word working in us, we gain wisdom that unbelievers do not have. And that's not an arrogant statement. That's just stating the fact. They need to know it as well. Okay? Now, people say you're too judgmental. Well, that's the Bible. Romans 1:19 and 21. That which may be known of God is manifest in them, in people, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, which the invisible things don't include the Bible. The Bible would be visible. Okay? You see the Bible. The invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That'd be everybody, your neighbors, your brothers and sisters, and everybody else. Even His eternal power and Godhead. There are two things that are invisible they can understand, which is that there is a God and He is a person. Right? It is nonsense to think that there's some impersonal cosmic force. It's ridiculous. Where did we come from? See, they understand there's an eternal being beyond themselves, and He's a person. There's a Godhead. So they're without excuse. They need to be seeking Him out. In fact, Acts 17 says that's why God created the world, that people would seek Him out. When you do not seek God in what you do, that's a sin. Right? And so again, it's that first commandment problem that we have. The first commandment is what? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Well, that's easy. I love Jesus. Put the bumper sticker on my car. Right? No. Loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul is it's hard work. Right? 24 hours in a day, 365 days in a year. How's that going? Sometimes I have foolish thoughts. You know, I'm not seeking God with all my heart, mind, and soul. To my shame. Okay? Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. So people know the invisible things of God, that He is a person, that He has eternal power, and yet, even in knowing this, they do not glorify Him as God. Now, why wouldn't they not glorify Him as God? Why would not say, God, You are God and holy? Because when they do this, it shows themselves how wicked they are. Right? It shows us how wicked we are. Right? And so they weren't thankful. Why would you be thankful? Because someone did something for you. I can do it on my own, people said. I don't need God's help. So they're not being thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see the sin descriptions there? Vain, dark, foolish. This is the description of unbelieving, sinful humanity without the knowledge and wisdom of God. Okay? So this is why people deny Him. They deny Him because of sin. They'll want you to be religious. They want you to be a Christian. It's okay. You can have your piece of the pie in the religious world as long as you don't talk about the sinfulness of people. As long as you don't judge people. As long as you don't say they're wrong and you're right. Okay? That's the problem. In verse 22, Romans 1:22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Here's the wisdom of the world. Let's all coexist together. Okay, you believe that, you believe this. There's got to be some common ground here. You know, stop talking about sin and judgment. Professing themselves to be wise. In fact, they're trying to, through their ecumenical councils, to combine everybody's thoughts into one system. Right? They became fools because now there's no truth. There's no right way. In fact, there's no wrong or right. Everybody's neither right or wrong. It's your opinion. It's your preference. Your thought. Okay? Well, no, there is God. There is truth. And so as a result, in verse 23, they changed the glory of uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. See what they did? Brought God down to their level. Okay? And so eventually, it says later in the chapter, they bring themselves up to God's level. All right? And that's what happens always with sin. They bring God down and you up. When you study the Bible, you need to understand this problem in yourself. You will naturally, when you study God's Word to get more of these verses in you, when you study the Bible rightly divided and learn how to answer some of the confusions of humanity, you will think that it's your wisdom. You'll begin to think that I'm smarter than that guy. You have to constantly check yourself. That's not you that said that wisdom. That's God. If it came from the Bible. Okay? That's the problem of Bible study. People tend to get high-minded. Right? Romans 12 says, don't do that. Okay, so Romans 1:23, they changed the glory of uncorruptible God to corruptible man. Always remember, you're the corruptible man, and God is the incorruptible one. What are the consequences of the sin? How does it affect our Bible study? Okay, the wages of sin is death. Of course, you know that in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Sin is contrary to God's nature. He created things not to be against His nature, but to work with His nature. He wanted things to have life, to have peace, to work in harmony. These are God's descriptors. Okay, sin, pleasures in death and destruction and greed. Okay, God would rather have life, peace, and harmony. And so this is how God created the world. Anything against that, He will deal with. He will right the wrongs. He will make the injustices right. Okay, that's what God's rule is in the system. And so the wages of sin is death. Okay, you can deny it exists. It doesn't mean it's not real. And, of course, it doesn't mean we're dead in the flesh. It also means we're dead in spirit. Ephesians 2, verse 1, we are dead in trespasses and sins, even while we stand. Right? So that death isn't just the physical death. It's a death that corrupts our entire existence. Okay? It corrupts our bodies. We die. It corrupts our thinking. It corrupts the way we deal with people in our relationships. It corrupts everything. Even the world was cursed for man's sake, so that there's not enough in the world. There's scarcity, right? So the world's corrupt, falling apart. It affects everything. And regarding our Bible study, as we sit down and read these words and try to think about them, you need to realize sin will affect the way you think. Okay, if you don't respect that, then you will think your opinions are golden, right? I got something to say. I got a commentary. Boom, there you go. Right? That's not it. Okay. What God says is true. You need to compare the Bible against what I said. I haven't been quoting verses for the last 30 minutes. I got a lot of them, but I haven't quoted the whole time. Is what He's saying true? Does that line up with God's Word? Not do you agree with me, do you agree with the Bible? Is what I say agree with the Bible? Okay, that's what it means to have people of like-mindedness who can be able to study the Scripture to show themselves approved. But the consequences of sin, the wages of sin is death. It affects our flesh, it affects our spirit, it affects our thinking. The consequence of sin... You ever heard people talk about sin like it's like a parking ticket or something, a speeding ticket? You ever heard this? And people try to do this in order to try to teach people the concept that you've transgressed God's law and you need someone to pay your fine, right? So let me think here. You got a speeding ticket before, right? So yeah, you get a speeding ticket and God pays the fine. You know, the problem with this illustration is that it doesn't really respect sin. I don't mean respect sin as if it's a good thing. I mean, sin is not just a parking ticket. Sin is not just a speeding ticket whereby you pay it and it's over. Sin is not a speeding ticket whereby you can stuff it in your glove compartment and just forget about it. Okay, sin is something, it's like a disease. Everything about you is sinful, you see. This is the problem. If it were just a parking ticket, fine. God's rich, there you go. Paid the sin, you're good. People quote this as they're Christians. They say, oh, Christ died for my sins. Has no effect on me anymore. Right? I'm immune to the consequences of sin. Christ paid for all my sins. Sin is still present in you, folks. He paid the penalty for your sins. He paid to get you out of the power of sin, His authority and resurrection. But sin is still there. And it will affect everything about you. Why do Christians get so many divorces? Why are there so many corruptions and frauds in pulpits? Because there's sin. That's the answer. Okay? The holiness movement is a fraud. They think they can be holy in themselves. They can't. Right? There's sin present in them. And so we need to respect that. Consequence of sin is more than just a divine parking ticket where God pays the fine and now you're set free. No. He did pay for your sins, yes, but it also affects your thinking. It affects your relationships. It affects the way you respond to people. Because you know what? You're selfish and you're proud. You know what? I mean, you're corrupt. That's what it means. And we need to constantly be conforming ourselves to the image of Christ, to God. How do we do that? Prayer, Bible study, right? Meeting with like-minded believers to edify each other. This is how we do that. It's a struggle. We can't meet every day of the week. We can never be perfect. That's the problem. I'm just trying to point out the presence of sin among us so that we can disdain it, so we can hate it, so we can say, that's not what we want. We know what it is. We can clearly see it. We want this over here. Right? That's what the point is. When you come to the Bible and recognize the place of sin, you'll see why God says some of the things that He does. Why God doesn't talk about some other issues that you think is important. Because sin is the issue. The problem with you. Even 2,000 years later, when Christ died for sin, sin is still a problem. I'm not saying that His death was not sufficient. I'm saying that sin pervades everything. Okay? And until He gets rid of sin and death, when He returns, until He comes back and he deals with all the corruption, rights the wrongs, you're an ambassador of Christ in a present evil world. Okay? And that's what it is. That's what it means to be a Christian today. The consequence of sin results in corruption, misunderstanding. You read Romans chapter 1, and one of the 25 things that Paul lists as a consequence of their sin to not glorify God is ignorance, being without understanding. You being ignorant and not understanding is a sin. You say, why is that a sin? I didn't do anything intentional. I just don't know. Tell me, does God know the truth or doesn't he? Is God ignorant? No. Are you then contrary to God's nature? Yes. God does not want you to be ignorant, granted. That's why he gave you the Bible. But the fact that you're ignorant is a problem. Now then you put ashes and dust on your face. Ah, woe is me. Well, yeah, God provided for your sins, folks, okay? He's privileged us to have his word so that we can study and know the truth and gain his wisdom. But the fact that we're ignorant, that we are okay with being ignorant of it, that's a problem. We need to study, right? We need to learn. We need to try to attain to the knowledge that God has. We can never do it. But that's the direction, you see. Okay? That's why we study the Bible. That's why we pray. That's why we come together and talk about these things. Misunderstanding, ignorance, doubt. Now, all these things, again, can be dealt with. Understand? This is what sin looks like. Doubt, selfishness. This is why, when it comes to the Bible, I will never, to my ability, never try to encourage you to doubt the Bible. It shouldn't say that. We should retranslate it. You can't trust that. Those 16 verses aren't in the Bible. I'll never do this, because it engenders doubt. I would rather you believe the Bible with your whole heart, get up before the throne of God, and go, well, you believed a little too much. You shouldn't have to believe all those words. Well, God, you said these were the words, and I believed them all. Okay? I would rather give God the benefit of the doubt than me being an error. Okay? And so I'm going to trust him to do the work, trust him to give me what I need. Doubt, selfishness, and pride. Selfishness comes to the Bible. Pride comes to the Bible and says, that can't be right because I never thought of that before. That can't be right because I've been studying the Bible for 30 years and I never saw that. That's pride and selfishness. Okay? That's sin. We should let God be true, every man a liar. Right? That's hard to grasp, especially for those who have been in the business for a while. Right? And so we need to come to that point. Sin affects more than just... It affects our reasoning. It affects our thinking. This is a problem you have with apologetics nowadays. The problem you have with talking to people who are not Christians. You try to prove to them that God exists. You try to prove to them the Bible is God's Word. We dealt with 8 weeks with the problem of authority. That's the issue. It's a problem of authority. It's an authority issue. Okay, we can go through all the textual criticism, the manuscripts, evidence, and the scientific issues, and they're never going to come to the knowledge of it because it's by faith. They can ever learn and never come to the knowledge of the truth because they lack faith. They do not believe God's words. Sin affects our reasoning. It affects our thinking. There is no wisdom. There is no knowledge that is worth a grain of salt that does not come from this book. Amen. Now, I say that, and every scientist out there goes, heresy, you know. I didn't say that you can't learn something about engineering, you can't learn about how to cook, food from the Bible. I didn't say that. Colossians 2:3 says that the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. Is that true or not? I don't know about you. I went to school. I've got a college degree. Okay, I understand the importance of education, reading books. And yet, the Bible tells me that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And a part of me, which I've identified now as my flesh, goes, that can't be true. If I just got 2 PhDs, I'd be smart. Do you feel that? Do you feel that? I can't just say that in front of people that are intelligent. I feel it. It's a sin. It's a problem. Okay? The Bible says, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Anything else is vanity. You don't need it. It may get you some money in this short life you got. It may give you some clout among people, but it's not important for eternity. This is hard to grasp. This is hard to hold on to, isn't it? It's what the Bible says. Sin affects our reasoning, affects our thinking about God. Romans 1, 22 and 23 says they profess themselves to be wise. We have professors, Romans 1, 22, who are fools, according to the Bible, because they rejected God. They changed the glory of God to a corruptible man, and they call that God, and it's just a corruptible man. God mocks these people in Isaiah. Have you read Isaiah, the chapter where he mocks these people? He says they take a piece of wood, and part of it they use to make their furniture, and part of it they use to make their God. And he laughs at it. It's nonsense. But that's the wisdom of the world. We need a piece of the cross. Right? We need a relic. We need a statue and a temple. Paul says, no, God doesn't need a temple made with hands. In Acts 17. This is the foolishness of the world. But it's looking like it's wisdom. People see that and say, that's wisdom. It's wisdom to have a one-world religion. It's wisdom to not have people who are convicted fundamentally about their faith, because that causes problems. That's what the world thinks. Okay, it's contrary to God's word. Romans 3, verse 11. And we know Romans 3, verse 10. We're all under sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. None of us are perfect, right? What about verse 11? What does this mean? There is none that understandeth. None that understands. Surely people can come to... There's a lot of smart guys in the world. Surely they can come to a knowledge of the truth without studying the Bible. I mean, look at all the books and the philosophizing that they've done. Look at all the discussions that they've had about religion. And surely there's something beneficial we can learn from reading all this stuff. If you're not studying the Bible, you're without understanding, is what the Bible says. There's none that has understanding. There's none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way, become unprofitable. It's no help to you. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Again, you say this in front of the world, and they go, of course there is. Look at all the philanthropy that happens. Look at all the charity that goes on. What's the Bible say about that? Plowing with the wicked is sin, right? Sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. It's contrary to God's nature. But you think you're doing some great good by denying God and giving all this money away to other people. Right? When actually, denying God is the greater evil than neglecting the others. And so Romans 3, verse 12, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They speak dead words. Their words are not alive. Where do you get the living words? The Bible. Where do you get words that make alive? They're like water to the soul, the Bible. Right? They reject the God's words, and they just speak dead things. Vanity. Doesn't matter. The most important thing the man can say is vanity. Read Ecclesiastes. It's altogether vanity, Solomon says. He was the wisest man that ever lived. In verse 14, their mouth's full of cursing and bitterness. Won't go into that, but that's obvious. Right? They call themselves wise, and they curse at you. As if that's intelligent. One person asked me, why don't I curse? Why don't I cuss? Right? It's easy to cuss. I know how to cuss. I can do that. You know, you've seen the movie, they cuss. It's easy to just put a word in every other word in your sentence. You can cuss pretty easily. And yet, why would you do that? If you're intelligent, if you know God's wisdom, if you know a better way to say things, if you know the truth, there's no reason to do this. Right? I'd rather raise my level a little bit to God's standard. Right? But anyway. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear. This is the problem. There is no fear of God for their eyes. They do not place their final authority in the Bible, in God. There's no fear. They think their wisdom has something to contribute. Okay, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says when they're under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. That means that you may shut up about yourself and trust what God says. Look at Titus 1 verse 15. Sin affects our reasoning and it affects our thinking about God. People come to you and want to study theology and want to argue and debate with you about who God is. And they don't want to quote you Bible verses. They don't want to study the Bible with you. And this is the problem. A theologian is not a Bible student necessarily. They could be. I'm not saying theologians are all bad. I'm saying that studying theology is different. Where are we at? In Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Titus 1, 15 says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Mind and conscience. Say, let's sit down with an unbeliever and try to reason with this fellow about God. Well, you cannot. You know why? Because anything that you have that's meaning anything, has any knowledge or wisdom about it, will come from the Scripture. And he will say automatically, you can't use the Scripture to prove the Scripture. Or you can't use the Scripture to prove this. That's not scientific. That's religious. I don't believe the Scripture. As if that means something. Okay? Any good reason you have to believe anything comes from the Bible. And they will say, you can't do that. You can't use that. It's unreasonable. They're defiled. Their whole thinking process is defiled and corrupt. You can't reason with these people. All right? If they know God exists, why don't they seek Him? If they seek Him, let's consider what He said. That's how you can preach to people. Okay? And you quote His Word. You use God's Word to give you wisdom and understanding. That's why we place so much emphasis on it. Titus 1:15 says, your reasoning and thinking are corrupt. A sinner's thoughts about God are vain. Romans 1:21-29 describes a sinner's thoughts. It says that they're vain, they're darkened, they're reprobate, they're wicked, they're untrustworthy, they're ignorant. Now, I mentioned a sinner here, right? And yet, again, the world doesn't talk in terms like that. Right? You may think a sinner is the drunk homeless guy down the road. Actually, sinners are people who have not trusted in Christ's death and resurrection for their sins. They're not saved. Remember we started out at the beginning, you cannot grow in the knowledge of the truth without your salvation. If you don't believe the gospel, you're not saved, you're a sinner. Even if you go to church every week and give 10% of your income, you're a sinner if you don't know the gospel. Okay? And it says, sinners' thoughts about God are vain, darkened, reprobate, wicked, untrustworthy. I'm the head of the United Methodist Church. Right? Do you know the gospel? I'm the Pope. You know the gospel. I don't trust the gospel. You say it's the gospel. You're unsaved. Everything that comes in your mouth is vanity. Okay, you're not speaking the truth. Dead men's thoughts is what's coming out of your mouth. Okay? Well, you're unreasonable here. We can't talk to you anymore. Right? You're judging me too much. Well, that's what the Bible does. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Look at this. Ephesians 4, 18, Paul describes. And again, with these verses that I'm presenting here, you see what we have to do. We either accept them to be true, or we use the standard the world would have us use. When we study our Bible, we have to make the decision at the outset. We're going to have problems down the road. Are we going to let God be true and every man a liar? Or are we going to say that everyone else has something to say about God? We need to consider what they say. Okay, there's a difference. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Who are these other Gentiles? You know, they're the guys down at the bar with the prostitutes. No. Those are like Caesar, the Roman guards, the politicians, the teachers. Every other Gentile. Okay? They don't believe. It means their minds are vain. Their understanding is darkened. They may say they're enlightened. They may say they're living life, sucking the marrow out of the bone of life and this sort of thing. And yet they're darkened in their understanding. They have no clue on what is true. You say, how do you know, Justin? You sound pretty pretentious. I don't claim to know. I know nothing of myself. Philippians 4:4. All I know is that this is God's word, and God tells me what is true. Okay? That's how we approach studying the Bible. But Ephesians 4, verse 18 says, they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Don't read that verse to an unbeliever. Okay? They will not believe it. They will be offended. And you're not going anywhere else with them. Okay? If that's what you think about me, I don't want anything to do with it. Right? Hardness in their heart, right? But this is the place where you have to come to if you want to be saved. This is the place you have to come to if you want to study the Bible. That I'm the ignorant one. I don't have understanding. I have vain thoughts. This is the true way to think. This is the true word of God. This is what's right. I need to put this in my head, right? And then this will be right. Not me, okay? This is what it takes to study the Bible. Otherwise, you'll have problems down the road. The error of your wisdom is that it's not in the Scriptures. Look at Matthew 22, verse 29. The error of thinking that what you think is right without the Bible. Well, I'll just give you the answer. It's because it's not the Bible. It's not God's Word. You're just a man. Matthew 22, verse 29. The smartest guys in Israel came to Jesus, tried to stump him. Okay? We're intelligent, we're wise, they say. We're religious even. You've got the Torah. Right? 22, verse 29. Jesus says what? You do err, not knowing the Scriptures. You don't know the Scriptures. Your reasoning, your logic is invalid. Why? It doesn't line up with the Bible. Jesus, you're one of those fundamentalists. Can't you just reason with these intelligent people? No, because they're unreasonable, because they don't quote the Scripture. They don't believe God is true. They don't believe God's Word. How can you reason with someone like this? It says, they do err not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God, Jesus says. Now, how could they not err? Well, by reading the Scriptures, by knowing what they say, by trusting Jesus as the Son of God. That's how they could not err. Okay. Acts 17, verse 2. Paul goes into the synagogues in Acts 17, and he reasons with them. He says, reasoning from the Scriptures. Without God's Word, there's no basis on which I can tell you what's true or not. Unless I preach to you God's Word, there's no way you can get understanding about God. That's why there's so many verses on the page. Because I don't want to present myself, but the Scripture to you. Okay. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Before you begin to study the Bible, before we learn how to study the Bible, we need to set our attitude in the right place. We need to make sure our thinking about it is right, about God's Word. Our thinking about ourselves is in the right place. Remembering that we are the sinner, God is the Savior. We are the one that was ignorant. God is the one that provided the understanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, let no man deceive himself. There's many people who come to Bible study deceiving themselves, thinking that they have something to say about it. Let him deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Isn't that the conundrum? Right? If you think you're the smart one in the group, right? And you say, we're going to study the Bible now, and I'm the smartest one, so apparently I should lead this thing, you know. No. You want to learn something from God? You've got to admit yourself to be the fool. Right? Some of you already know you're fools. Some of us don't know that. You know, that's the problem. The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. He says, let man deceive himself. Let him become a fool that he may be wise. The fool there has to do with your understanding. Your contribution is not significant. Okay? What God says is, period. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Bumper sticker says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Wrong. God said it, that settles it. You have nothing to do with it. Okay, that's what the bumper sticker should say. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says. That's how we approach Bible study. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. The Corinthians were puffed up. Why were they puffed up? They were puffed up, 1 Corinthians 8, because they knew some things that Paul taught them. Of course, Christ told Paul, right? So it came from God. So Paul taught them some things about Christ's crucifixion, about liberty, about how they don't have to follow the law because they have liberty in Christ. And they went off the deep end. They boasted in their liberty. They started sinning deliberately because, hey, Christ died for our sins, right? And Paul says, why do you boast as if everything that you have is not given to you from God already? They didn't have that position because they earned it. God gave it to them. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2. If any man think that he knows anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Confused. Let's read it again. If any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. If you think you have something to bring to the table of God's Word, you are not yet in the right place to know God's Word. I want to study the Bible. Fine. You admit that you don't have understanding. You admit that you're the ignorant one. You admit that you're the one that can't tell the truth. Only God tells the truth, and you're in the right place. Okay? Lots of people come to the Bible thinking it's just another religious book that's written by men, you know, and they can correct it, they can change it. You need to believe it. You need to trust what God said about it. Okay? That's the difference between Bible belief and Bible doubt. That's the difference between trusting a sinner to tell you what's right and trusting God who's without sin to tell you what's right. Okay? Trust God's Word. Trust the Bible you're studying. Don't come to it skeptically. You say, well, I'm studying the Bible just to figure out whether it is God's Word. Well, you need to hear it. You hear it, believe it, study it this way. Okay? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. We learn when Paul's dealing with this wisdom problem amongst the Corinthians that it's not their own wisdom, it's not the philosophy of the world, it's not the wisdom of the world that has any benefit in learning the truth. It says, Christ Jesus is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Everything good about you is in Christ. Right? Everything bad about you is just you. Right? Christ is made unto us wisdom. We learn the wisdom from Him. Colossians 2:3 says that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Christ. Sin is present in you. It affects your reasoning. You cannot be trusted. Okay? God's Word can be trusted. God is not affected by sin. God is perfectly righteous. You can understand what God is saying. Okay? Because you read and study His Word rightly divided. Before you study the Bible, you must believe the Bible. You must let God be true. You must not doubt Him. If you doubt anyone, doubt yourself. You come into a problem, you don't understand it. Well, that's normal for you, right? That's normal for us. We come to a problem I don't understand. Well, that just reflects that we're not God yet, right? Never will be. But God is right. And so we press on to try to learn those things. This is what drove science for so many years. That people knew that God knew the truth and that God created this world, and it drove them to study it to learn what God knew. Right? Nowadays, scientists are, they're puffed up. As if they discovered things. As if they invented these theories. God created the world. Praise God that you can discover any of these things. You can learn about them, really, is how you say it. Bible retranslation is not Bible study. Leave the text alone. Let it say what it says to whom it says it. You need to make the choice right now before we continue with our series on how to study the Bible whether you're going to submit yourself to God's Word or not. Let it be. Okay? If you come to the table and we can both come to the Bible and let it be as it is, letting Him be true, we can learn from it and grow together in it. Okay? Because it'll teach us about salvation. It'll teach us about the truth. It'll teach us about what God wants us to do. Okay? We need to be willing to change our lives to align with that. Otherwise, we change the Bible to align with us, and you're not going to get anywhere with that. Any questions, any thoughts about any of that?